So we're going to read from Luke chapter 1, from verse 26 onwards. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Amen. That's a scary story, isn't it? It's terrifying, isn't it? Like, really, you know, it's amazing. You know, I feel sympathy for Angel Gabriel because he's all excited coming and declaring the word of God, and he's telling Mary all these wonderful things are going to happen, and you know, you're going to bear a son, and he's going to be Almighty Counselor, the Son of God, and it's going to be incredible. He's going to take David's throne, he's going to rule all these people forever and ever. And she's thinking, "I'm a virgin, how am I going to have a baby?" It sort of interrupts Gabriel and says, "So that's great, all that stuff, but how is it going to happen? How can that practically be?" That's great, isn't it? It's a wonderful place to come to God when we have, when God comes to us with a word and a challenge and a task. And it seems difficult. It seems incredible. He's saying things over you, your life, the church, our circumstances. We think, that's great, but how is it going to practically happen? How are we going to make that happen in our life, in our church, in our circumstances? But Mary, God was searching. He was looking all around. In the Bible it says God is searching, looking at the hearts of people, looking at people who have hearts for him, a love for him, a desire for him. And no matter who we are, or what situation we are, or what circumstances we're going, what challenges we're facing, what hardships we're going through, what suffering, illness or whatever, God is looking at us, and he's looking at our hearts. What does your heart tell God? Does it say, "I'm overwhelmed, I'm struggling, I'm finding it hard, God, but no matter what, I love you. I declare your name. I declare your glory. I praise you. I'm struggling, but I praise you. I'm struggling to understand that, but I praise you. I'm struggling to understand how it will happen in my life, but I will praise you. I will glorify you, and I will honor you." I remember one church we used to go to in Kent. We used to go, Lucy and I used to go in the evenings sometimes because it was a bit more uplifting and give us a bit of a boost in our faith to go back in and fight the battles. And we used to go in there, and this church was absolutely mad. They're insane. They're like, "Oh, it's crazy, it's just madness all the time." You know, they would have somebody say, "Oh, there's an angel appeared, and there was a pool of water." And the next thing, the whole congregation's diving in this pool, lying on the, just saying, I want God, I want God's glory. But there was an incredible thing that in the midst of the craziness, God honored them. God favored them. Because for all we thought it was crazy, God was looking, wow, these people are nuts, but they've got a heart for me. They've got a heart for me. They love me. They want to glorify me. They want to praise me. They desire me. They want my presence, so I'm going to give it to them. And other churches are going looking around, why is God blessing this crazy people? This crazy, they're nuts. I just kept saying they love God. Their heart's for God. And God's looking for that. He's looking for people and individuals, for churches, for hearts and people who are ready to receive Him. And He's ready to give them His favor. He's already given His great favor in Jesus Christ. He's done everything He could do for us in Jesus Christ. When Jesus was born, lived, and died upon the cross, God gave His favor because He said, you were enemies, yet I still loved you. Now you're my friends. I've reconciled you through Christ. I've brought you into my favor, into a place of honor where I look to bless you. But He's also looking for that place of greater favor in our life. God wants to increase favor within us. But He's looking for hearts that are ready and open. And there's poor Mary. She's found favor with God. My God, she's probably saying, I wish I hadn't. But God comes and He says to her, He sends the angels, I found favor with you. There's something about you, Mary. There's something about your life and who you are as a person, in your righteousness and your goodness and your dealing and your heart and your person of who you are, that I want to show you favor. And I want to bless you, and I want to give you a task to do. See, favor always comes with a task. When God looks upon you and finds you favor, He says, I'm going to find something for you to do for my kingdom, my purpose, because you're a person that I can use. You're a person that's going to bring blessing. You're a person that's going to obey me and listen to me and do my word. And God says to Mary, you're going to bear a son. Even though you're a virgin, you're going to bear a son. And He's going to be the mighty counselor. That the amazing, incredible thing is going to happen. That the Word of God is going to become incarnate in flesh and dwell in your womb. And you're going to give birth to the Word incarnate, to the Son of God. And you're going to have the responsibility to care for Him and love Him and nurture Him and teach Him and bring Him up to be the person that I want Him to be. So when He's ready to be guided by the Spirit of God, that He'll be released and He will defeat the enemies of darkness and bring the kingdom of God into reality and truth and set captives free. And that He will do my word and He will obey me. And Mary's astonished. And we should all be astonished when God has something for us to do, shouldn't we? Why me? Why me? You've got lots of leaves coming. Why? Why? The window's open. Don't worry, it's not. Why? Why me? We should be astonished. Who am I that God might see me and find favor with me? And that God might declare that I may do something for Him that might bring glory to His name and might break the powers of darkness and might build His kingdom in this place, in this community, in this world? Who am I? I'm somebody who's found favor with God. And I have to live in that identity, that reality of who I am, of who God sees me, and not who other people see me as. It's such an important principle. I know I keep on going about it, but even Mary, she had to stand there and say, my goodness me, this is astonishing, this is incredible. I don't know how it works. I don't know the biology. I don't know the practicalities. Can you explain a bit more? And the angel says, the Spirit of God will come upon you, and you'll become pregnant by the Spirit of God. And the child will be named the Son of God, Jesus, for he will deliver his people from their sins. And what does Mary say? She goes, no way, no chance. Think about the practicalities of that. Think about what's going through Mary's head. You know, she's not just standing there, Holy Mary. You know, it's like she's a young girl given a choice and circumstances to either serve God or not serve God. She's this person who's saying there, here's a task, here's a challenge, I found favor with you, I want to use you, I want to show my glory through you. Are you willing? I'm sure God had lots of eyes over lots of people. I'm sure he could have replaced Mary in a minute if Mary wasn't obedient. But here's Mary, possibly going to be a single mum. The next 6 months are going to be arguments with Joseph. Do I really want to argue with Joseph over the next 6 months? We all hate arguing, don't we? We really want to be in that situation. Tension, family, circumstances. My mum's going to be crying. My dad's going to want to beat me up or throw me out or do something. The people in the community might stone me to death. Will Joseph reject me? And then she thinks, wait a minute. Wait a minute. God says, I found favor with him. And what happens when you found favor with God? You find favor in all circumstances, don't you? No? Think about all the people in the Bible, from Moses. From Daniel. From all these people who found favor with God, found favor with other people, with Joseph, who found favor with God, went on in prison and circumstances and defeat, but then went on to lead the country because he had favor. For Daniel, became high standing because he had the favor of God upon him, so he found favor with other people. Mary found favor with God, so she was in impossible circumstances, but what happened? Because she had the favor of God, she had the favor of the people around her. And she found a way through the impossible because the favor of God was upon her, the blessing of God was upon her, the Spirit of God was upon her, the power of God was upon her. And she stood in favor and authority, and all things worked for God's purpose and for God's good as that favor worked in her life. And then she says in all that circumstances, thinking it through, thinking through the biology, thinking through the circumstances, thinking how this is going to work. And in faith she says, God, let it be according to, I like the King James Version, thy word. Whatever I have to face, whatever I have to do, whatever circumstance I'm in, let it be according to thy word. Let it be according to your will. Let it be according to your purpose. That's incredible, isn't it? What a thing to say. As God looks upon us as individuals, as he looks upon us as a church, as he searches our hearts and minds to find people who love him and desire him and to do his will and purpose, he pours out his favor, his love, and his purpose. And so even in our lives, in the most challenging and difficult circumstances, in the hurt and the pain and the loss and the grief and the brokenness and the joy and the happiness and the good times when you forget about God as well. In in our growth as people, as individuals, as the Spirit moves upon us, as we walk with God, as we face circumstances and challenges. God wants our hearts to be turned towards Him and say, let it be according to your word in my life. Let it be according to your word in our lives. Let it be according to your word in this church. Not my word, not your word, not our corporate word, but let it be according to God's word, God's will, God's purpose, God's favor, God's desire, God's hopes, God's dreams. Let it be according to your word, that we can submit enough and come before Him and bow before Him and say, God, wherever I am, however I'm feeling, whatever circumstance, whatever opposition, whatever division, whatever hurt, whatever pain, whatever loss that I've faced, I'm not going to let that become a barrier to my relationship with you. I'm not going to let that become a barrier to my salvation. I'm not going to let that become a barrier between my heart and you. I'm not going to let that become a barrier to loving you and serving you and worshiping you. But I'm going to say in every circumstance, in every situation, as we're going to say in our covenant prayer, I am no longer my own. I am yours. And we have to come to a point in our lives when we say that with seriousness and with power, which is life-changing words to say, which changes our circumstances, which takes us out of our comfort zones, which takes us out of our life that we want to live and say, I'm no longer my own, I am yours. Let it be according to your word, God, in my life. How long have I lived Gary's life? How long have you lived your life, however fulfilling it is? God has a better plan, a better purpose, that we partner in His kingdom when we say, according to your word. I'm dying to myself. I'm taking up my cross. And I'm living for Him in His purposes. I might not understand, like Mary, how God's going to do it. The technical details of giving birth, I'm sure, were too complicated for Mary. The Spirit, theologians have been 2,000 years trying to figure out the birth of Jesus and the Spirit of God and two natures and stuff like that, and nobody still can agree, really. And it's really complicated. So poor old Mary trying to work out how that's going to happen. But she said, he might not be brainy enough to figure out. I might not understand it, but God, if you want to use me and you want to do something for me, here I am. Ready according to your word to do whatever you desire. Are we ready to say that? Are we in a place for that? It's terrifying. It's terrifying. But it's wonderful. Look at the blessings that Mary had from bearing the Son of God. Look at the blessings that she brought to us by being willing to say, here I am. I'm available according to your word. I don't understand, but I'm ready to do it. Isn't that incredible? Now we're ready to stand here and go, I don't know what you're going to do in my life, God. I don't fully understand it all, but whatever you say, I'm going to do it. Amen. God is good. Let's just pray. Father God, we just thank you for Mary's faithfulness. Lord, that you looked upon her and you found favor with her. That you entrusted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to her. That you gave her the task of giving birth to Him. What fear, what wonder she must have experienced as she had to give birth to the Son of God. Lord, what fear and trepidation she would have of bringing our Lord Jesus Christ up, of preparing Him, of readying him for the task ahead. And Lord, for the bravery and how she faced the suffering of her son and his death on the cross. Still saying, let it be according to your word. And we thank you for the victory that Jesus gave over sin and death to set us free, to bring us hope, to bring us joy, to make us children of God. Father, I just pray that you will help every one of us this morning, that as we are challenged by your Spirit, as your favor comes upon each one of us, that when you call us to the task that you have set before us, that when we're faced with the challenges before us, we will say, let it be according to your word. Let your will be done. Even if we have to drink the cup of suffering that Jesus drank, that even in our suffering, we will say, your will be done, not mine. So, Father, prepare each heart and mind in this place. Prepare my heart and mind, Father. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit as we wait in anticipation of the words that have been prophesied over us as a congregation. That, Lord, we're impatient. But, Lord, we ask you that you may cleanse our hands and purify our hearts, that we may be prepared for the task that is ahead, Lord, that we might be a center of revival and renewal in this community, Lord. And we do not accept anything less than your purpose and your word and what you have prophesied over us, Lord. And we claim those words and we declare them and we take them in Jesus' name in faith, Lord. And we say, let it be according to your word. Let it be according to your prophecies, Lord. Help us to be the people that you have raised us to be and called us to be in this place. Lord, help us that our hearts and our minds may be set before you with full purpose. That our hearts and minds and spirits may be to be your desire, to find favor with you, that we might find favor with this community. And Father, we thank you for the favor that we already have. We thank you for the hundreds of people who come through this building every week. And Father, we thank you for people who are engaged in conversation, who are prayed for, who are set free, who are released through the ministry of the people in this church, Father. And we ask for more. More, Father, we want more people, more engagement, more challenge. However difficult may come, we want to engage people in this community so that we may set them free, that they may find Jesus Christ as Lord, that they might find hope and joy, Lord, that all the fears, all the hurts, all the past that binds them and crushes them and prevents them from following you may be set free, they may be broken off, and that they may stand up and follow you. Father, give us this anointing that you have promised, Father, that we require your glory and your presence 24 hours a day in this place, that we might fulfill the task that you have called us to. Lord, renew us individually. Prepare us, each one of us, for the task ahead, that we may not be complacent, Lord. But for this task ahead, each one of us has to be purified. Each one of us has to stand and say, let it be according to your word. Each one of us has to die for ourselves and live for you and for your purpose and for your kingdom, so that your glory may be fulfilled in this place. So, Father, bring your glory. We are ready. Do your will. Let it be according to your word in this place, as we stand firm in faith in Jesus' name. Amen.